It's in his bite. That's where it is. By Jasmine T. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. When Nikki found out Cedric had claim bitten six other people, one for each day of the week, he'd said, he'd immediately dumped him. While Nikki has nothing against polyamory, he does hate, with extreme prejudice, being lied to about being in a serious monogamous relationship. In the 6 months since, he's cleaned his apartment so thoroughly there isn't a single article of Cedric's left, and yet Cedric's bite remains on his neck. Nikki wants it gone. He doesn't want to be reminded of Cedric every time he looks in the mirror or lathers it up in the shower, or when a cute person smiles at him only to turn away when they see the bite peeking over Nikki's shirt collar. The only reason Nikki'd agree to such a public mark was because he'd thought they were serious, and now it was complicating meeting anyone new. Even with Cedric's scent gone from his skin, people assume Nikki's in a long-distance relationship. It's a hard sell to convince anyone to write over Cedric's bite with their own. Nikki sleeps with a couple of people into that sort of thing, but the damn bite is more faithful than Cedric and won't fucking fade. So Nikki tries solo methods of removal, rubbing a cold spoon on it, a noxious potion of essential oils, and even toothpaste on the stubborn mark. When that doesn't work, the more bizarre options, like charging a black obsidian dildo under the light of the full moon and fucking himself with it, start to look appealing. When Google begins giving him ads about ritual cleansing chocolate boxes, engagement rings, and Christian dating websites, he decides enough is enough. As he's complaining about this denial, she grows quiet. He knows she's thinking about something because she rubs her shoulder where her military unit's bites used to be. Just tell me, Niall. Honestly, it can't be any more embarrassing than using a poultice of bee venom to be rid of the mark. I have a friend who might be able to help, but I need to check with him first. Her mouth makes a funny shape like she's holding something back. Is there something wrong with him? Is he an asshole? No, Niall says quickly. It's just... Listen, this is not my thing to tell you about. Let me talk to him first. Nikki nods, expecting him to be a tarot reader or something. What he is not expecting is Niall telling him he has a date for next Sunday afternoon. Niall's never tried to set him up with one of her friends before. Sure, she's been supportive of all his crushes, but she's very protective of her friends. So Nikki does his best to make sure her effort doesn't go to waste. He shows up at the bookstore cafe, freshly shaved, and in the leather jacket Quinn had found in a thrift store while Andy laughed. Joe's already there and waves him over. He's so handsome. Nikki understands why Niall might be discerning about introducing him to people. So, Joe starts. Niall says you have a claiming bite that won't budge. Nikki frowns. You're not even going to say hello and introduce yourself? Joe blinks. Oh, sorry. Usually people just want to get right to it. Being clear from the jump, this isn't a date, helps make things clear. Wait, this isn't a date? Wait, what? Joe says, looking bewildered. A couple of minutes later, they swap stories and figure out what exactly is going on. I can't believe Niall set me up, Joe groans. Nikki frowns. Is there a reason she was clear to me she was matchmaking but not to you? Probably because I told her I was going to swear off dating forever. Had a bad time of it. Just haven't managed a date in 4 years. Nikki blinks in shock. You know, life gets in the way, and the next thing you know, it's been a while. Sorry. Getting back to the topic at hand. You were expecting a date, and possibly a tidy way to get rid of your ex's bite, yeah? Yes. And you were expecting just to help with the bite? Yeah. Joe rubs his jaw. Ah, Niall, so kind and yet meddlesome. If I'm giving you a bite ASAP, then we need to revisit the whole matchmaking thing afterwards. If we lead with the dating, the bite is more personal for me, and I like to mean it in my personal life. Nikki nods. That makes sense. Niall's a decent hand at meddling, so let's revisit this after. Not that you aren't a wonderful person and worth waiting for, but I've tried everything to get rid of it, home remedies and all. I had a friend with a strong bite try to ride over it, but it just won't go. Even Andy had thrown her hands up, and she has one of the strongest bites he knows of, and they've been close friends for years. What she actually said was, "Sorry, Nikki, you already have my pack bite, and I could give you a second one, but I don't think it'll take. You let Cedric bite you because you loved him. You don't feel that way about me. You'd have better luck with someone you're attracted to." "So you're saying I'm the problem?" "Kinda." Nikki threw his face in his hands. "Nothing wrong with wanting love," Quinn consoled. "Or chemistry," Andy piped in, ribbing her wife. "Best one-night stand of my life." "The one-night stand that just didn't end," Quinn fondly reminisced. "All right, then," Joe says. "Can I see it?" "Yeah, of course." Nikki unwinds the scarf, and Joe moves his chair so it's next to Nikki's. After looking, Joe gestures towards his neck and sniffs. "Can I?" "Go ahead and scent it," Nikki sighs. "Even the scent won't fade. It's why people don't believe I'm single." Bracing himself on the back of Nikki's chair, Joe leans forward. Nikki's first thought is he smells nice, good enough to breathe in deeply. Then that Joe's presence this close feels electric. When Joe inhales, Nikki shivers, anticipating his touch. It's as if every part of his body is seeking Joe like iron dust to a magnet. Joe says, sitting back. Nikki firmly keeps his hands in his lap and does not reach for him. "Your ex definitely has a strong bite, but mine's stronger." Nikki's impressed the statement stays firmly on the side of confident and not arrogant. "Is it all right if I give a small lick to be sure?" Nikki agrees. It's a common way to gauge compatibility, and if Andy's right, Nikki wants to know if he'll resist Joe's bite. Joe places a warm hand on Nikki's shoulder and gives a small lick to his neck. There's a literal spark between them, a static shock that skips up his spine. He gasps, giving Joe more of his neck. Joe follows him for a short, sweet moment before ever so responsibly leaning back. Joe looks at Nikki intently. If Niall's endorsement hadn't piqued his interest, this certainly has.
"Well, that answers if we're compatible or not," Nikki notes, a bit more breathlessly than he'd like. "How long does your bite last?"
Joe blinks at him, surprised. "Niall didn't tell you." "She said it was a private thing. I had to beg her just to connect me to her mysterious friend." "My bite doesn't last long. A few days, a week at best." It's Nikki's turn to be shocked. "That's surprisingly short." "Perfect for your situation, isn't it?" Joe says, and Nikki doesn't understand the rueful expression. "Why does it make you sad?" Joe's eyebrows lift. "You have feelings about this, and I don't want you to do me a favor if it's going to make you sad." Joe heaves a large sigh. "People always say a strong bite is wonderful. Mine's always taken on the first try, no build-up needed. Lots of people love the fantasy, but not the reality of it, and they're relieved when they find out they just need to stay away a few days to be rid of it." Nikki makes a sympathetic noise. "I see why Niall said it's a personal thing." "Yeah." Joe takes a sip of his tea, and Nikki can recognize a topic change when he sees one. "So, we're compatible, but setting the mood so both of us are receptive to the mark's important. So let's talk about what would help both of us feel open to that." Joe's place is a granny unit in a nice neighborhood tucked against the hills. Nikki's been to the park nearby where the view is always beautiful, both because the hills are painted in gold and shadow when the sun rises and sets, and because from the hilltops you can see the entire city. As he walks to Joe's door, he spies a balcony that overlooks the park with an empty easel on it. Once Joe lets him in, he asks, "Do you draw?" "Yes," Joe says. Been in a bit of a rut, so I've been doing plein air stuff lately. You?
Goodness, no. I'm decent if I'm tracing something or using a coloring book, but otherwise it's stick figures for me.
Fair enough, Joe replies. Come in, come in. What did you bring? It smells good.
During their bookstore discussion, they'd both agreed food was a good way to breed familiarity for a bite. So Nikki sets his Tupperware full of rugelach on the kitchen table, some chocolate, and some apricot, both topped with sanding sugar.
I figured they're good for finger food. We didn't explicitly talk about hand feeding, but it seemed in line with what we're both interested in.
Nikki watches rapt as Joe's eyes widen along with his mouth. Nikki quickly opens the lid and pops one of the sweets into Joe's mouth, and Joe mumbles what Nikki hopes is praise as he eats.
Chocolate. Joe licks the crumbs off his lips,
and Nikki hopes the rugelach will net him a date after this bite business is complete.
There's also apricot.
Joe scoots closer and opens his mouth again.
I've created a monster, Nikki notes with amusement.
He breaks an apricot one in half and splits it between himself and Joe. When they're done, Joe's eyes are closed. He's humming with pleasure from the sugar high, and hopefully from Nikki, too. Joe's scent is strong in his home, of course, but Nikki can begin to smell him, slightly giddy. Nikki feels warm himself, the bonding activity's a hit for him, too. He's always enjoyed using his hands to make other people feel good. Food, sex, touch. It feels like Joe reads his mind when he reaches for Nikki's hand and asks, "How do you feel about dancing?"
"I'm all right. I can keep a beat."
"Don't worry about that. We're just going to follow each other. Here." Joe holds out his palm, and Nikki places his in it. He expects some kind of ballroom dance, but instead it's something else, something vaguely modern. Even without music, Joe moves easily like someone at home in his body. Nikki follows him, his only constraint, keeping his hand connected to Joe's. He finds ways to twist and play into the shapes Joe makes. It's fun. And Nikki feels himself loosen as well, laughing when Joe spins him out and draws him back. "How are you feeling, Nikki?"
"Good," he says. "I haven't had fun like this in a while."
He presses against Joe, who leans back. Eventually, they get on the floor, and Joe even works in some kind of backstretch where they sit back to back and take turns, pressing each other into the floor. Then they follow one another's slow, swaying movements. That one feels a bit like being kelp, swayed by the tide. They're both relaxed, and Joe must smell it on him because he asks if Nikki's ready. Nikki nods. Turning so they face each other, Nikki offers his hands to Joe, who takes them. His grip is just right.
"I'm going to start," Joe says.
Keeping one hand in Nikki's, the other traces the upward curve of Nikki's back, settling between his shoulder blades. Nikki shivers and bites his lip when Joe leans into his neck. As his nose trails up, Nikki knows Joe's just scenting him, but he wants the heat of his mouth, his tongue, his teeth.
"No sex," Nikki says, unsure who he's reminding, but holding fast to Joe's hand regardless.
"No sex," Joe confirms, squeezing Nikki's hand back. Nikki wonders what he smells like to Joe right now, if that's why Joe's voice sounds thick. Joe rubs his cheek against the spot first, then licks over Cedric's bite. There's a frisson of discomfort, Cedric's pheromones refusing to let go.
Joe idly hums, as if considering the best way to do this. Then he licks a wide swatch of Nikki's neck and blows on it.
Nikki's glad he's already sitting, because his knees feel weak.
"Do you still want the mark over the current one?" Joe murmurs.
"Higher," Nikki says. He hadn't planned for that. Cedric's just peeks over his shirt collar. Joe's fingertips grace Nikki's pulse.
"Here?"
"Yes," Nikki whispers. "All right." Nikki tugs on Joe's hand as if to bring him closer and tips his head to the side.
"Attaboy," Joe murmurs. "Be good and stay still. My bite can feel intense since it's just the once."
Nikki nods quickly. Joe swirls his tongue against the chosen spot, then gives just the smallest of bites, like some strange version of measure twice, cut once,
Then he bites, and Nikki knows that the high whine followed by pants is coming from him, but he's too fucking far gone on the rush of endorphins. Part of him wants to struggle against it because it's too good. But then he remembers that voice telling him to be good and still, and Nikki lets himself fall into the warmth. He breathes sunshine, smells amber, wraps himself in the best weighted blanket he's ever found. He sucks on the goodness of it like hard candy. "Hey," that voice says. Nikki, still floating in a gold sea, and tries to pet the chuckle he hears. "Okay, that's good, Nikki. Can you show me those pretty eyes?" He does his best, reluctantly parting from nuzzling Joe's beard and blinking up at him. "Hey there," Joe says. "Did I do good?" Nikki slurs. "Perfect. I couldn't have asked for a more willing and handsome partner." Joe boops his nose and Nikki smiles dopily. "Can you sit up a bit? I'm happy to keep holding you, but my knees can't take this position much longer." Nikki notices he sprawled in Joe's lap at an exceedingly awkward angle. "Oh, sorry," he says muzzily, climbing off and to his right. They lean against the couch, their sides pressed together. Usually he wouldn't be so clingy so soon, but the bonding hormones have him itching to be even closer to Joe. "Can I?" he mimes, pressing his face into something, most preferably Joe's neck. "That hit you hard, didn't it?" Joe says in sympathy, rubbing Nikki's thigh. "Come here." He tugs Nikki closer by the nape of his neck, letting him decide where he wants to scent. Groin, armpit, wrist, and neck are all common places. Nikki has enough decency left not to go for Joe's crotch, and instead returns to his neck. He gives a small sigh of satisfaction as he breathes in deep and then rubs his face against Joe's beard. He settles just below his jaw where he can feel Joe's pulse beating steady beneath his lips. He mouths at it, part comfort, part instinctual holdover, even if he has no plans on biting Joe back. By the time the high starts to fade, his head is nestled in the crook of Joe's neck. While he waits out the rest of the rush, he lets himself enjoy Joe's smell, the feel of warm skin, and the brush of his beard against him. Joe just pets him through it, stroking the back of his neck. When at last Nikki feels like his senses are normal, he reluctantly pulls away. "Thanks," he says. Joe nods. "You good to drive home? You're welcome to stay longer." Nikki touches the mark just to reassure himself it's Joe's and not Cedric's, and that sends his brain back into that hazy place. From far away he hears, "Oh shit, I really have you, don't I? Okay, how do you feel about puzzles?" Nikki nods, and Joe pulls out a puzzle of a woman emerging from the sea with a dragon. Nikki's not sure how long, but they work on it, snuggled up together, Joe making small talk until Nikki's capable of holding a conversation without getting distracted by the bite high. Once they both know Nikki's sober enough to drive, Joe walks him to his car. "Text me when you get home," Joe asks. Yes, Nikki waves and kisses him on the cheek. "Thanks again. This really was better than I thought it'd be." "You're telling me." Nikki doesn't want to leave, but he knows going home is the right thing. He wants to tug Joe into bed and sleep side by side, and that's a decision he needs to make once the bite high is gone. If they're meant to be, waiting won't hurt. As he pulls away, he glances at Joe through the rearview mirror, who waves back with a small grin. With one mark gone and another in its place, Nikki's wiped by the time he gets home. He falls into bed but remembers to text Joe. "I'm home," he sends. What he wants to say is, "I miss you already." But he knows that's the bite talking, so he saves it in his notes, where all thoughts better left unsaid go. He sleeps deeply and soundly, and when he wakes, it's with the echo of Joe's scent still in his nose. Nikki is slightly embarrassed by how much he touches the mark on his neck. He touches it so much, people stop to congratulate him on the glow he has about him or his new partner. Nikki politely says thank you, and when he doesn't say more, people assume it's because he's in the honeymoon period of a new bite. And while that's not factually true, the bite certainly has zing. Each time Nikki touches Joe's mark, it sends a very pleasant shiver through him without fail. It was certainly an experience when he palmed it while jerking himself off. But as the third day comes and goes, and with it Joe's mark as well, Nikki finds himself wishing that it wouldn't. He knows chemistry alone doesn't mean much. It's not enough to build a life upon. But besides the thrill, he likes the way Joe's pheromones feel cozy, warm, like a blanket, like looking at the night sky when he was a boy at his grandma's in the countryside, and he likes to think that's a sign. He also thinks about the bite, wonders what it'd have been like if Joe meant it when he bit him, imagines Joe's teeth worrying the bite, leaving not just the light imprint of teeth, but bruises. Even with the bite gone, Nikki still thinks of Joe when he touches himself. After a week, when Joe must be sure his bite has faded, he texts, "Did you still want that date?" Nikki wants to do it again, wants to see what can grow. His answer is easy. Yes. Strength. Joe first gives someone his bite in kindergarten. He just really likes Martine, and he bites her because, well, when you're five, you just bite everything you like, including your well-worn copy of Where the Wild Things Are. When Martine starts giggling for 10 minutes and sports a set of teeth marks on her forearm, the teacher raises his eyebrows and calls Joe's parents. His parents explain what a claiming bite is, and that Joe needs to be careful because his is strong, just like when his younger sister was born and they had to teach her to pet their cat gently. Joe has to be careful with his bite. The second time he's 10, and pissed, Sasha wouldn't pass the ball to Carla, despite her having the perfect position to score. So in great frustration, he bites Sasha on the shoulder through his shirt and demands he pass the damn ball, which he does. When the teacher calls home this time, his parents give him an ethics lesson. By the time he's old enough to understand claiming bites often, but not always, go with sex or romance, he realizes his strong bite is a blessing and a curse. People want him in order to use him as a convenient eraser of mistakes. Or people who like the idea of being claimed quickly by a lover don't love it in reality. And then there are the assholes who are pissed he has a strong bite and try to fight him over it. Joe's not a fighter, but he does hit the gym to discourage those fights. His grandma also revisits the ethics lessons of his youth. She, too, has a strong bite, mincing no words, and says, "Use of a strong bite means you need to find someone of equal will. A strong bite is like a whip. You can use it to force your will, or you can use it for pleasure. You need to find someone, or someones, who are not afraid and can dance with you." "You're saying I need to find someone as hard-headed as me?" Joe replies, making a note to ask his grandma about her experience with whips later. "Yes, and no rush, but please find them before I die." Joe laughs, because his grandma has many years left in her. In college, Joe realizes his strong bite can be a gift. He's bitching about it to Booker when Book gets pensive in a way that's rare without alcohol. "Would you be willing to bite someone to help them out of a bad place?" he asks. "Book," Joe replied, all the breath going out of him. "Is Adele..." "No, God, no. I mean, she volunteers at a shelter, and there are people leaving abusive relationships who could use your help." So it snowballs from him helping people at the shelter to him acquiring a reputation across campus as a fixer of problems. He gives people bites for all sorts of reasons, ranging from overeager suitors who won't back off unless a person's already bitten, to parents who use their bite to discourage their children's decisions, and annoying but well-meaning matchmaking friends. once he's graduated and working for a living, his reputation fades away, with the occasional request coming in from a friend. He's still happy to help someone out of a tight spot, but he also wants to mean it when he claims someone. Thinks about where he'd like to be marked in turn. And yes, he, Booker, and Niall all wear each other's bites, but those are platonic bites, and he's a romantic at heart. Niall knows this, so he isn't surprised when she drops Nikki into his lap. As it turns out, she's a good matchmaker. Joe picks an Asian fusion burger joint to meet Nikki at for their first date. He's been wanting to try the chicken katsu burger. Nikki proves to be unafraid of messy foods. He orders a salmon burger that drips all over the place, and Joe watches him lick the sauce off his large hands before it drips onto the wax paper. Midway through their small talk, Joe says, "Hey, I know I asked you on this date, but I have to ask because of my ex. You're not a bite chaser, are you?" Nikki blinks at him in surprise. "What? No. No, I mean, your bite was very nice, but your pheromones feel like a cozy blanket or when I'd stargaze at my grandma's. And I want to know what kind of person has such comforting vibes, in addition to the..." He waves his hand to encompass their chemistry. Joe tries to hide his pleasant surprise. Nikki hadn't found his bite overwhelming, and in fact found it cozy. He thinks of his own grandma. "How will I know when I've found someone?" he'd asked her. "Because no matter the fireworks of the bite, they'll still see through it for who you are," she'd replied. "Then you will know they're of equal strength to you." Focusing on the present, Joe says, "It was a pretty nice bite, huh?" While Joe hadn't gotten buzzed the way Nikki had, he had appreciated fussing over him while he was bite-stoned. Some people found Joe clingy, but Nikki really loved all of it, smiling wide and trying every which way to get his face into Joe's beard. "So tell me about your grandma." Nikki smiles and Joe knows he said the right thing. Ecstasy is just a bite away. Zero. Blank slate. "I feel bad that you don't get to experience the same kind of bite high I do," Nikki remarks, after they've been dating a couple of months. They'd exchanged I love yous quickly, unsurprising since they were both romantics, but it felt right, and shortly after, they'd laid their marks on one another. His bite on Joe's upper shoulder. Their one concession to going slow was no publicly visible bites, yet, is almost entirely faded. Joe has, of course, wondered what it'd be like. Not enough to go and find out, though. As a result of his bite being so strong, he often needs a lot of buildup to take a mark himself, and the amount of time and effort to get him high was not something you ask someone casually. "I mean, I've certainly looked into it, but..." "But..." Joe blushes. "The most common way is to have multiple claiming bites from the same person, which is considered tacky and rather over the top." Nikki doesn't scoff or roll his eyes, and instead he grows pensive. "Would you be open to that?" "Yes?" "How many do you think we'll need?" Nikki says mostly to himself, and then to Joe. "What locations are you comfortable with?" He reaches for a pencil and paper, and something about Nikki ready to note-take to get Joe high on love makes Joe's whole body go hot. So he tells Nikki all the places he'd thought about in his daydreams and fantasies. 1. Neck. As they're watching Netflix, Nikki nibbles on Joe's neck.
"So where do you want it, babe?" Nikki asks. They've been working up to this one, so even the slightest brush against Joe's neck makes him shiver. "Everywhere," Joe replies, already imagining Nikki's teeth marks in red and purple all over him. Nikki laughs. "I'm very flattered, but we can always change where it is next time. Where do you want it this time?" back of my neck, he gasps, while you're fucking me.
Nikki groans his name, then says, your wish is my command. He kisses Joe and gets to work.
They quickly move from the couch to Joe's bedroom, where he rapidly sheds all his clothes and proceeds to tear Nikki's right off. Joe settles onto the bed, belly down, wiggling his butt at Nikki, who takes it as the challenge it is. After spanking Joe to tears and making him beg for his cock, Nikki breathes,
you're so loud.
Joe agrees by letting out a moan into the pillow. Nikki yanks him back by the hair.
No, I want everyone to know how good I'm fucking you.
Joe tries to form words, but just whimpers.
Say yes, Joe, or I'll give you my bite while you fuck a toy and not my cock.
Yes, yes, Nikki, I promise I won't be quiet.
Fuck. Thank you, Nikki.
Nikki pushes in carefully, even though he's fingered Joe open with plenty of lube. Then he proceeds to fuck Joe senseless with a slow, hard, deep rhythm. Joe feels himself burning up for Nikki, and he pushes his ass back, asking for more.
You ready to work for it, baby?
Nikki pants. Joe nods. Nikki steals his rhythm and grips Joe's hips in those hands, showing Joe how Nikki wants him to fuck himself. It feels like Nikki's using him as a plaything, and Joe loves it, dripping onto the towel they'd hastily thrown onto the comforter.
I love you like this, Nikki says, all desperate and wanting for me. You'd take anything I'd give you, wouldn't you?
Yes! Nikki spits in his hand and finally wraps it around Joe's cock, jacking him off until he's shaking around Nikki's dick.
Come on, Nikki, please. Come inside me, Joe pleads, knowing Nikki will give him what he wants, especially if he says, please.
Nikki groans, long and low. His chest presses flush against Joe's back, lips at the top of his spine. Joe knows this is the moment he's been waiting for. Nikki bites, and Joe shudders, legs going weak. He lets himself melt into the bed at last, knees still spread. He's glad he's gone to some of Nikki's yoga classes. Otherwise, he would have pulled something in his groin as Nikki follows him down.
Good, Nikki mumbles against him.
Not feeling the cosmos or tasting lightning?
Nope.
All right, let me clean the both of us up, and then I'll spoon you.
You've already forked me, Joe mumbles.
Nikki pokes him. Yes, you're well done.
That is a terrible joke.
You love it.
I do.
Once Nikki returns and the both of them are clean to his satisfaction, they burrow under the covers.
That was good, Joe mumbles into Nikki's chest.
Despite Nikki promising spooning, it wasn't long before Joe had rolled over. There's something comforting about being wrapped up in your lover's arms, legs all tangled, like Nikki is a fortress between Joe and the rest of the world.
I'm glad.
You're already thinking about the next one, aren't you?
Nikki kisses the top of his head.
Yes.
You are single-minded and determined.
Yes.
Where to next?
How about my thigh?
Mouth-watering.
Joe slaps his shoulder and they laugh.
2. Thigh. The moment Joe hears the lock opening, he leaps into the hallway. As Nikki comes in, hanging his coat up and towing his shoes off, Joe pleads,
Nikki, you gotta finish this bite tonight, please. I feel like some kind of Harlequin romance heroine. Every time my thighs rub against anything, myself, my jeans, a blanket, it's very distracting. I've barely gotten any work done.
Poor baby, Nikki replies, tucking his keys to Joe's in his coat pocket.
Are you asking me to kiss it better?
Joe nods frantically.
Let's get you out of those.
But Joe's already got his jeans halfway down, so Nikki laughs.
Okay. Let me grab a pillow to throw under my knees.
With his jeans successfully kicked off, Joe tugs Nikki to the living room.
Here, dearest, really? Nikki teases.
Don't want to wait. Bedroom's too far. Is waiting really so onerous?
Nikki's fingers trace the inside of Joe's thighs, and he spreads his legs, eager for Nikki.
No, but I am worried about answering honestly when people ask me what I'm thinking.
Nikki's fingers reach the spot he's been priming for his bite, and he watches with satisfaction as Joe's eyes roll back. Nikki pushes Joe onto the couch, and their gazes catch. Joe knows what that look of intense focus means. Toe curling, spine tingling, need a gag, sex.
You promised me a pillow, Nikki reminds him, and Joe tosses it over.
He also reaches to take his shirt off, but Nikki stops him. Leave it. It feels... He licks his lips, looking down at Joe, naked only from below the waist.
Dirtier. Like I couldn't even wait to get my mouth on you.
And you called me eager, Joe says indulgently. Do you want me to spin you a tale? They discovered Nikki likes it when Joe runs his mouth and weaves fantasies. Nikki nods solemnly. Please. Joe's good at thinking on his feet, so he begins.
Was I alone in my torment? Did you spend the day thinking of me?
Nikki gets on his knees, hands stroking Joe's ankles. I could have visited you at work. Your co-workers always think it's so sweet when I bring you lunch. They wouldn't know that my sweet nothings are about how much I miss the warmth of your mouth or the plug I sent you to work in.
Nikki's hands wander up, and when he kneads the inside of Joe's thighs, it takes Joe a moment to find the story thread again.
After you checked no one's close by, you opened the note I tucked into your lunch. It's a drawing of you, lips wrapped around my cock. You don't want to sneak off to the bathroom with me, but then I turn on the vibrator.
Nikki surges up and kisses him fiercely, both because he has to do something and because he doesn't want to go up in even more flames.
His hands squeeze Joe's shoulders, needing more. When their lips part, Joe offers him just that.
You want something you can hold, can taste, Niccolo, not just words.
He loves how easily Nikki falls under the spell of his words.
Yes, Nikki sighs.
Then get on your knees, sweet thing. I've got something to fill that pretty mouth of yours.
Nikki makes a high, whining noise and sinks prettily to his knees.
He opens his mouth wide, ready to take as much of Joe as he can at once. But Joe tisks him.
No, baby, get me nice and wet with your tongue and your lips. No sucking.
He knows it drives Nikki wild when they do this. Nikki licks and nuzzles at him, but Joe knows what he really wants is a cock in his mouth.
When Nikki's clawing at Joe's thighs in need, Joe takes himself in hand and guides himself to Nikki's waiting mouth.
His eyes light up like it's his birthday, and Joe got him the confetti cake he loves.
Joe loves these little slip-ups in their games, a reminder that no matter who they pretend to be, the core of the man he loves glitters all the same.
Nikki glances up to make sure it's okay for him to finally have his fill of Joe.
It's all yours, baby, Joe confirms.
Joe gasps as Nikki takes him all in, his face beaming. A feat of his expressive eyes, given his mouth is otherwise occupied.
Oh, yes. Yes, Nikki. I miss this. And I know you did, too.
Nikki does his best to nod, and Joe grabs Nikki's hair.
You're desperate for it, aren't you?
Joe feels the answering whimper in his balls.
Nikki has absolutely no patience when Joe works him up with a fantasy and tries to deep-throat him.
He likes the struggle of it, and Joe pets him through it, telling him how well he's doing, how good his mouth feels, how he can tell Nikki is so very, very eager by his moans, and above all, how much Joe loves him.
When Joe feels that telltale clench in his balls, he loosens his hold on the story and sputters,
Nikki, I'm close. Please, bite me already.
Nikki lets go after one last suck on the head of his cock, then slides his hand down to Joe's tender inner thigh.
Joe whimpers, ready for a release of a different kind. As Nikki mouths at his thigh, he starts jerking Joe off as well.
Joe is as generous with his begging as he was with his praise, pleading Nikki to give him what only he can give him, how he's ready, so, so ready, so, Nikki, please.
His voice cracks on the string of pleases, and Nikki bites down hard. The agonizing desire that's been pulsing through him all day at last changes, condensing at the base of his spine and spilling into an orgasm all over Nikki's fist. As Joe catches his breath, Nikki cleans himself off and hops onto the couch, resting his head against Joe's shoulder. Eventually, Joe manages to say, "Fuck, that was good." Nikki looks at him wryly. "I take it you don't feel inspired to make very florid metaphors about my bite." "Nope, but that was a very nice orgasm. Absolutely would do again." Nikki snickers. "That's the plan." Joe scratches Nikki's head. "You were so good for me. You don't know how long I've waited for someone like you." Nikki glances up, and Joe knows he feels the same way by the glimmer in his eye. Kissing the top of Joe's shoulder where he'd first bit him, he murmurs, "Come on, let's get squeaky clean." They take a long shower together and get ready for bed. As they wind down by reading their respective books, Nikki's midway through a romance and Joe's at the end of a space opera, Nikki places his book face down on Joe's belly and draws idle patterns on his ribs. "You know how I like it when you tell me all those dirty fantasies." Joe sets his book down and makes an encouraging sound. "They're hot, don't get me wrong, but sometimes I imagine that no matter what universe we're in, you and I would have found each other." Joe tackles Nikki into a hug, squishing Nikki's book between them. 3. Heart. On a lazy Sunday afternoon, Nikki rests his head against Joe's chest and spreads his hand over Joe's heart. "This is where I'll do the next bite," Nikki whispers. Joe rouses from his doze. "What?" he says muzzily. Nikki repeats himself, and Joe's hand cards through Nikki's hair. "You're a romantic. Takes one to know one." "That is true." "Well, you're going to start or what?" Nikki gives a small smile, then rubs his cheek where his hand once was. Joe sighs in pleasure, thinking this week's off to a very good start. Given how snugly they are in bed, it takes less time than normal for Nikki to finish prepping Joe for the bite. On Thursday, Nikki remarks, "I could do it tomorrow, probably, instead of early next week." "Surprise me," Joe says. Nikki's lips quirk, and Joe knows Nikki will show him a good time. They go through the next few days like normal, except for the shirtless selfies Joe sends Nikki once a day. The pic of him with the lipstick heart over his chest with the message, "Missing you," was particularly inspired, if he says so himself. By the time Sunday rolls around again, Joe's looking forward to brunch. He preps all the food the night before, so while he sleeps, Nikki can pop whatever he made into the oven or onto the stove. Today they're trying the pancake casserole he saw in Nadia's Time to Eat, topped with raspberry jam and tahini. It's so good, Joe starts picking off of Nikki's plate once his own is clean. "There's a whole 9x13 Pyrex right there, Tesoro," Nikki dryly notes. "It always tastes better when it's stolen," Joe retorts. Nikki gets a look in his eyes. He moves his chair so he's next to Joe. Close enough, they bump shoulders. Some people hate being this close together, but they love it. Joe even tries to play footsie while Nikki switches plates with Joe and scoops himself a second slice. When Nikki's mostly done, just a few bites left on his plate, he starts petting Joe's chest. "Have I told you how thankful I am we keep it warm enough for you to go shirtless?" "Every time we pay the utilities," Joe replies. "And how very thankful I am for you?" Joe sets his fork down and gives Nikki a look shining with affection. Joe takes Nikki's hand and with his other caresses his mark on Nikki's neck. Nikki shivers. "You tell me every time you let me bite you, and every day I wake up with you beside me," Nikki murmurs. He leans in for a kiss, and Joe falls for it. At the last minute, Nikki dips his head down to Joe's chest, right over his heart, and nips. "I know I'm delicious, Nikki, but really, the world tips on its side, or perhaps it's his mortal body that does, because he seems to have transcended mortal notions of perception. And this is going to make such a splendid art series. His love for Nikki is molten, but also as fine and iridescent as glitter in a moonbeam. And Nikki smells like pancakes, And does he taste like that too?
Joe? Oh, I didn't think this would be the bite that... No, it's okay, Joe. Shh. Let's get to the couch, okay? You can snuggle me as much as you want to there. It's much more comfortable than the kitchen chairs.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, so Joe happily follows Nikki. Once he's on the couch with the love of his life, he enthuses,
I just love you so much.
I know, baby. Nikki wraps him up in a blanket, but Joe wriggles out of it and does his best to wrap himself up in Nikki instead.
So much. Like more than little nut brown hair. Forget the moon. I'll love you to Saturn and back.
Nikki laughs.
Oh, Hayati, you are so bitey.
High on love for you, Joe sings. Then he scrabbles for Nikki's shirt, burrows his head underneath it, and inhales against his belly. Nikki's hands pet him as Joe heaps more muffled praise onto Nikki. When at last being wrapped up in Nikki feels warm and secure, and not like wrapping himself up in morning dew and starlight, Joe says,
Wow, that exceeded all my expectations.
Nikki looks down at him, expression indulgent and fond, and nips Joe's nose.
What was that for? Joe asks. When you were licking over your bite, you said love was the most delicious spice of all. I thought I'd fact check.
Well?
I think for science I'll have to try you after you bite me again. That'll be in 2 days?
Joe laughs, because they both know exactly when. They both look forward to it. To be really scientific, it'd have to be a bite outside of sex. Taking a bite during sex always feels different than a bite outside of it. Nikki frowns.
Well, to advance knowledge, I guess I'll have to take one for the team.
I love what a team player you are.
You love me, period.
Yeah, I do. After a moment, he realizes Nikki never finished his share of the pancake and offers to grab the rest.
No, I'll do it, Nikki insists. You enjoy the afterglow.
Who knows? Maybe eating pancakes and touching the bite will be a good combo. He gets up, folding the blanket over Joe's lap, and heads to the kitchen. As Joe watches Nikki's backside, he calls out, I love your ass. Nikki flips in the bird, but returns with the promised plate and 2 forks. They settle on the couch, arguing if the substitution of tahini for peanut butter was genius or sacrilege, and feeding each other small bites.
Ready for more?
Nikki asks with a mischievous grin. Joe smiles.
Yes.
Laying one hand against Joe's thigh and the other one against the back of Joe's neck, Nikki kisses Joe's heart once more, and Joe's world is transformed once more, resplendent in rose-gold intimacy, verdigris affection, their love dissolving on his tongue like sponge sugar. +1. Beach. When Joe takes off his shirt at the gym or beach, people raise their eyes at how many bites he has. Then they eye Nikki warily as if to ask, This dude marked you up like that? Is he possessive? And Joe, ready to proclaim his love for Nikki from the mountaintops, is like, Nikki, sweetheart, come here, and regales them with their love story and demonstrates that having this many bites is very swoon-worthy.